Williams.
Welcome back to Be Fit with Brian Pruitt. I'm your host, Brian, and this podcast, this mission, is all about getting and staying fit. It's physical, mental, spiritual, to be aligned and be connected with your calling, to be mentally sharp and confident, kind of like a bring it on mentality, and physically to be the strongest, healthiest, you know, most energized version of yourself. And that's actually who you really are. That's your true self. If you're not feeling like that, or if you haven't felt that in a while, that's really who you are. So, you know, how can we uncover, how can we rediscover our true self, the one that's healthy and vibrant, who's taking steps forward, who's progressing, who's growing? That's who you are. That's what you were made to do. You were made to grow. You were made to become more you. You were made to overcome and not to settle. And this podcast is all about that. So I'm glad you're here. I am not in my studio space where I typically am to record podcasts. I'm in the outer room, so it's a little bit different for me. I'm out of routine, but that just goes to show you it's a small little example of being out of routine because of a bigger reason, and that is, drum roll, I'm a dad, and my daughter is finally born. She's finally here. She's in the flesh, in person. I can hug her, kiss her, sing to her, look into her eyes, pray over her, and just be with her. And it's the best thing I could ever imagine. Like, it's, you hear that a lot. If you're a dad out there, you know. If you're not, or if you're a parent, you know. And if you aren't a parent yet, you've always heard it. Like, dude, it's way better than you can even describe. And people say that a lot. So it's, you know, I'm not saying anything new to you. In fact, you know, a lot of times we sorry, I just got thrown off by my mixer. Let me make sure my audio is correct. Okay, hopefully I'm sounding better now. I might be a little bit louder now because I upped it. But so yeah. Anyway, it's much better than I could ever describe. There's so many things I'm learning in the process of being a dad and trying to figure out life, trying to figure out sleep and routines. And, you know, we have a puppy as well. If you follow me on Instagram, we have a puppy named Drew. He's 7 months. He's sleeping in the room next to me at the studio, and he's a freaking handful. But he's amazing. He's a gift, you know? And I joked around, it's probably going to be an episode or a post and a blog post, an Instagram post in the future. But I asked God for wisdom and for patience, and he gave me a puppy and a baby. So be careful what you ask for is what I'm trying to say. But no, seriously, Gigi and I we had a tough year in 2022, a tough year working through some stuff together, individually, collectively, right? Since we are one, we are unified, we're united as one, being husband and wife. It's important to work through stuff as a team and not just like, hey, you versus me, or like she's separate from me. You know, her stuff is my stuff in a way. My stuff is her stuff. And I'm talking good, bad, ugly. You know, we like to share the good things, but I think sometimes we forget that whatever I walk through, you know, she linked up with me, right? For richer, for poorer, better, for worse. And likewise, you know, if she's walking through something, she's working through something and it's ugly, you know, that's part of the vow you take as a man, you know, with marriage. Or if you're a woman with, right, it doesn't matter if you're a man or male or female, if you are binding yourself into a marriage covenant, like you are vowing to be there and to make their stuff your stuff and to make your stuff their stuff. And to live in that intimate relationship, both physically and mentally, spiritually, on a soul level and energy level and all that. But the point is, we had a tough year. Wow, freaking rabbit hole, rabbit trail. I'm the king of that. So I know you at least enjoy it on some level if you make it this far and you listen to my podcast. But in general. But the reason I brought that up is because, you know, we had a tough year and we're working through that stuff. And you know, I'm praying to God for healing. I'm like, man, we just need healing. We need your presence, God. We need your life and your power by your spirit in Jesus' name. And we ask for healing and boom, we get a dog. And part of my wife's healing has been Drew, which is, you know, it's beautiful. So while he is a handful and while he is tough and trying to learn, you know, teach him and help him to be obedient so I can be productive and effective and have some sort of predictability in my routines and schedule, it takes work to do that. But I got to take the bad with the good. I got to take the good with the bad. You know, he's such a gift and he's been a healing, a catalyst for healing and joy. He brought so much joy and motherly love. He drew that out of Gigi, motherly love, helped her become ready to be a mother in a way. And so I got to take the good with the bad. You know, I can't be frustrated and, you know, be angry or whatever with him. I gotta be able to have perspective, get higher perspective. That's the name of the game. So yeah, man, this podcast is not really any structure. I feel bad. I haven't really posted a podcast in a while. So it'll be about, you know, what I'm going through currently, the lessons I've learned, and time management, time mastery, the importance of taking care of yourself when you have other people taking, you know, looking for you, dependent on you. It's massively and essential. It's massively important and essential that you take care of yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, as best you can. It's not going to be perfect. No, of course not. But it is essential, and you must stay focused. You must stay on path, because if you give up on yourself or if you start settling in areas of your life, it does show up in your relationships. It does show up in how you present yourself, how you carry yourself. It does show up in the subconscious and some maybe even body language, body image, or body language, and how you present yourself, even physically, right? Visually. And then of course, in your health and in your mindset and all that. It's all connected, right? It's all connected. And that's why when we settle in one area in our life, we think it's not a big deal. We find ourselves kind of off and other things are affected. So if you're following this message and this idea, I've been, you know, planting these seeds in your mind, because your mind's a garden. I'm trying to plant good and prosperous and healthy, strong seeds to help you switch more of yourself on. You understand that you have to look at your life as being fully connected. Almost lost my train of thought there. Your life is fully connected. What you do in the dark affects what you do in the light, right? What you do when nobody's watching affects what you do and how you show up in front of people. Does that make sense? And for most of my life, I didn't really live as if that was true. I was like, I think that's true. It probably is true, but I'm not living as if I believe it, right? I'm not living as if it is true. And that right there is the best way to know what you believe in is how you live your life. I mean, you know, we got people, and I think I've said it before, but Jordan Peterson, right? He's like, I'm not sure if I believe in God, but I live as if I do, or I live as if there is a God. And he goes, that's probably the best way to describe belief. Excuse me. Stay hydrated, friend. The best way to describe belief is seeing what people do, how you live your life. Do you live as if there's a God? That shows belief, right? So anyway, the connected nature of our life, of our lives, is very fascinating to me. And so I think that's what the goal is to raise all, a tide raises all ships, or whatever that saying is. Like when you become more you, you're inevitably raising other aspects of you, right? Because you're saying, I'm going to become more me. So that means physically, mentally, spiritually. It means maybe your business skills, or your communication skills, your emotional intelligence. It's just all that stuff. It's all attached. It's all connected. So it's a beautiful part of life. It's connected. Now, it can be a bad part of life. It can be a negative side. Anything positive can be turned negative when you do more negative things and you find your other areas of life being pulled down, right? But that's a whole nother conversation. Let's get back on track, okay? You with me? I'm a dad now. And a couple things I've learned, of course, number one is this idea of like unconditional love. I look into my baby's eyes and I even think about her and just even like dream about her, just like when she just comes to my mind, I fully experience, not just know, there's a big difference in just the knowledge and experiential knowledge. So there's a big difference between knowing something to be true in your head, but then experiencing that truth in reality. There's a big difference. So I know now what unconditional love feels like. And it's the most beautiful thing in the world. I think the whole world was created with unconditional love in mind. You know, I believe the world was created by the word of God, by the power of his breath, which is, by the way, the same breath that's in your lungs is the breath of God is in our lungs, right? So he used his word, God's word, to create the world. His word is love. God is love. And so this whole thing is reality because of love. No other reason besides love, right? And so it's all about returning back to love and back to the true love and the truth, right? And so we all know, well, we know at this point, my beliefs and my Christian beliefs, I believe God's word is Christ. That's literally his word. In the beginning was the word was made flesh. The word was with God. The word was God. In the beginning was God. And that's like, that's John 1, most beautiful chapter, in my opinion, is John 1. And my favorite book in the Bible is John. And if you're new to spiritual things, new to biblical text and all that, searching for God or searching for revelation, read John. That's a really great metaphysical, very, very interesting spiritual perspective on the life of Christ, whereas the other gospels are more historical accounts. John is a very much metaphysical light and darkness, you know, truth and lies, life and death, all these parallels and contrasts. It's a really fascinating book. Anyway, I now know and experience unconditional love. So that's something you hear from a lot of parents when you have kids, like, dude, oh, you'll never, I mean, you'll take a bullet for your kid. Of course. You'll die for your kids. Of course. And the unconditional nature of the love you have for someone, it really it doesn't surprise you, but it's like a really powerful experience because then you're then like, well, if this is possible in our fallen, you know, we're not perfect creatures. Human beings are fallible. We make mistakes. You know, we are capable of almost incomprehensible evil. But if you can comprehend it, then it's like, well, it's possible, right? We're capable of so much good and bad. It's just a great preview and a snapshot of what the divine or the transcendent or God's unconditional love must be like. We get like a snapshot. We get like a fraction of what his love is. But number two is, you know, I think for me is as a spiritual man, as a man of faith, it's taught me to lean on something greater than me at all points of life, at all points in my day. When my baby was in NICU for the first 11 days of her life, it was very much a roller coaster. It was in a lot of ways beautiful, but it was in a lot of ways scary. And I think maybe those two things are correlated more than we think, right? You know, something scary brings us to life, you know, makes us feel fully alive. So maybe part of that is it comes with it, right? But it was really, I think, scary. Like, I think the fear that I felt when I, you know, realized she could be in danger, or when her lungs had to develop, when we got x-rays back and we're kind of just making sure like things are good or waiting to hear on results. that fear, that unknown, that uncertainty really allowed me space. It created space for me to lean on God, to talk to God, to trust and surrender to God and His plan, His will for my life and for her life. When I realized, when we realize our lives are not our lives are not even our own, we can then let go. We can then live with our hands open and say, well, you know, this life is a gift. My life's a gift. I'm going to do the best I can at developing myself and living it to the fullest and being of value and helping others, making the world a better place. You're free to do that. But like Jesus said it, man, if you try to hold on to your life, you try to grip it and freaking rip it and save it and do everything you can to protect it and guard it and live self-focused, you will end up losing it. You know, what profits a man if he can gain the whole world, the money, the fame, the women, the pleasure, the experiences, the success, if he loses his soul, right? So the key to keeping or the key to life is letting it go. You know, we experience life through death first. Nothing you haven't already given away or let go of can ever truly be yours. I'll say that again. Nothing you haven't let go of and surrendered can ever really be truly yours. I wish I said that, but that was C.S. Lewis. But it's true. It's very true. So the key to having is actually letting go. The key to having something is giving it away. And so, yeah, it forced me to just surrender. And it gave me a new, my baby in the NICU, and the roller coaster of emotions, the fear, the calmness, the trust, then the negative stuff, like, oh, this stuff happened again, like, we're worried now. And just the roller coaster of emotions in the NICU let me, it pushed me on a search for, there's got to be something firm and rock solid I can put my faith and my trust in, and there's got to be something I can have peace in no matter what. No matter what the storm looks like, there's got to be something or some way or some truth that I can hold on to in the midst of that. And then I just was reminded of Jesus when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the rock. And I'm like, boom, there you go. So the answer is always found in him. It's always found in God. It's always found in our Creator. I believe he uses different things in different ways to bring us back to that realization. But anyway, moving forward, hope that was impactful. So the point there is, like, I learned how to let go and also let go and surrender and also find something where I could really be confident in no matter what. I can be confident in God's promises. I can be confident he's got good plans for me, that he's working all things together for my good, that he'll never leave me nor forget about me. He'll never just leave me as you know, leave me alone and just say good luck. He'll always walk with me no matter what I go through. And I can know that he's for me. And you can know that he's for you. You can know that he loves you unconditionally. You can know that he will never leave you. He is always with you. He's always constantly drawing you to himself, and he uses different things. Most of the time, pain and fear to bring you back to him. He often, you know, especially early on in your spiritual life and journey, if you're a spiritual baby, you know, like there's physical babies. Well, yeah, some of us are spiritual babies, right? He doesn't often use like pleasure to bring you to himself initially, right? He will to get you to like taste and be like, oh wow, this is really good. Like he's amazing. You know, living life with God is much better than living apart from him. But he does use the fear. He does use the anxiety or the pain to really get your attention, right? Because if everything was just perfect and we didn't experience pain, we maybe wouldn't grow up to be the person that we were made to be, right? We're not meant to stay as children. We're not meant to be stay as a baby, physically or spiritually, right? But we are meant to have childlike faith. We're meant to be dependent on our Creator like a child is dependent on their father, right? The child doesn't earn or can't earn their dad's favor or gifts he wants to give or food he wants to give them. They just willingly accept it because, yeah, I'm a child. Not like they deserved it or not like they could earn it. So it's not prideful or wanting, but it's just because they're a kid. They're just it's just because they're a child. And so it's a beautiful thing. So those are the things I've learned from being a father. I hope it impacts you. I hope it gives you some inspiration to take with your day. And then the last part, the second part of this podcast, and it's around 20 minutes already. Try to keep it short, but you know me. I talk a lot. I get on rabbit trails and stuff, but this is good. And side note, I just appreciate you listening. I appreciate you following this journey. I appreciate your messages or, you know, rating the podcast and sharing it or, you know, messaging me and just letting me know it's impacted you, whatever that looks like, even if it's silent, even if you're just consuming this and it's building you physically, it's building you, your mental, your mindset, it's building your spiritual health and all that, I'm still grateful for you. And so I want you to know that. And I'm proud of you. I'm rooting for you. And I know that as you become more you, I'm becoming more me. We're doing what we were put on earth to do. And that's become the person we were made to be and share our gift with the world. To be fully alive, to be full of life, to be full of love, and to make other people better because we were here, right? So secondly, and if you're a dad or if you're a parent, you know, if you're a busy professional, if you have a busy life in general, you'll understand what I'm saying. And if you're kind of getting into a more season, more of a season of busyness and, you know, you have more responsibilities, this is for you especially. Because time is of the essence. Time is your most important asset. It's your most valuable asset is time. Everybody, as you know, has the same amount of time. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. The sales professional, the CEO, the bum, you know, the hippie on the beach all day, which I'm starting to turn into more of that guy as the days go on, wearing less clothes, walking barefoot, you know, sun max and all that stuff. But, you know, no, it doesn't matter who you are. The principal, the janitor, the student, the owner of the school and the building, everybody involved has the same amount of hours in a day. Not everyone has the same amount of responsibilities, though. Not everybody has the same amount of responsibilities. But I'd argue the more responsibilities you have, the more important your time is. So you should be utilizing your time, stewarding your time, redeeming the time, buying it back, and seizing every moment to your advantage. So as your responsibilities go up, naturally you can't afford to waste more time. You can't afford to waste time because time just became that much more valuable. And I'd argue that time didn't become more valuable to you. You just understood the value of time better by being busier. Time's always valuable. We can't get time whenever it's spent. A day that goes by that we wasted, you can't buy that time. You can't buy that time back, or you can't get that day back, right? But you can redeem the time and make time work for you and be better off because of that lesson in wasted time. Does that make sense? So redeem your time. Use it wisely. My point is, this episode is a perfect example. I could have waited and said, you know what, it's not a good time, and you know, I have to do this and that. It's not perfect situation. I'm not in my regular room. You know, freaking Drew's sleeping in the studio podcast room, and so the acoustics and the sound might be a little different. And you know, oh, when I first started this podcast episode, like my sound was down, and now I raised it up, so maybe the listeners will be. There's always an excuse. If you want to find one, you can find an excuse with anything. So physically, like your fitness, you can find an excuse. The gym's not perfect. There's too many people. The weights aren't freaking nice enough. You know, it's 20 minutes away. Like you're going to find an excuse always, right? So with that example, how can we find a solution? Well, wake up earlier and go to the gym when there's less people. Right? Avoid the trap of like, oh, I'm not feeling like I need to work out. Like I'm so tired after a long day. I might as well just work out tomorrow. Avoid that by not hitting snooze, waking up earlier, going to the gym, like doing something for your physical fitness first thing. making time work for you, right? Also, habit stacking, like killing two birds with one stone. One of my favorite things to coach clients on is, look, the importance of habit stacking is getting the biggest bang for your buck. Meaning, you know, sometimes I listen to a podcast while I'm working out. So it's physical and mental, okay? Sometimes I'm listening to worship music, or I'm praying, like I'm just talking to God while I'm lifting. It's physical and spiritual. Excuse me. Right? In the mornings, I kind of let myself go when baby was born for like 2 weeks. You know, I was snacking a lot, you know, sleep's going down, wasn't in routine, wasn't lifting. And I would sleep in, I'd hit snooze because I'm just like, well, dude, I'm not sleeping as it is. I need all the sleep I can get. You know, I'm going to go back to bed for like 30 minutes and then wake up. Meanwhile, I'm feeling worse and worse. And so I'm like, you know what? Screw that, dude. I'm tired of finishing the sleeve of Oreos, having, you know, milk and ice cream and stuff like that late at night, snacks and whatnot, desserts. I don't feel good, you know? But I kind of gave myself a pass because I'm like, well, you're a new dad. So enjoy this moment for a little bit. But then I realized, man, that enjoyment, that pleasure is very, very, very quick. It's very, 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 what's the right word? You know, it's just, it's here now and gone the next moment. It's very much quick, instant gratification at the expense of my long-term health, how I'm going to wake up and be and present and perform the next morning. All these things matter, right? So I was like, I was tired of that. So started waking up on an alarm, no matter how much sleep I got, you know, 8 hours, which never happened, but 4 hours or 6 hours, doesn't matter. I wake up at this time, I go, I make coffee, go outside, I'm on a walk and I'm talking to God or I'm listening to music and I'm just being silent. So again, habit stacking, getting outside, getting in my steps, moving my body. Movement is medicine It wakes your body up, makes you feel good, right? And then I'm getting like that stillness, that time alone with myself and with God, and just I can just breathe and be. That's beautiful. So I wasn't just doing one thing, I was doing multiple things. And that's the importance of habit stacking when you do have time, right? And then of course, doing things that actually give you more life in the time you'll have in the future. Meaning, you know, one of the best things you can do with your time, in my opinion, is either lift weights, is read or write, is practice, you know, a meditation or a mindfulness, a breathwork practice, being still. And those are the biggest things, right? And I think learning something maybe, or being in nature, right? Those things actually help you, they give more life to your time in the future. So instead of spending your time, your free time, being more chained to binge watching a TV show, nothing wrong with TV shows, right? But like if you're utilizing, if you're using your time to just watch TV shows and scroll on Instagram for like hours and whatnot, like just consume stuff, consume, like instant gratification type stuff for prolonged periods, unhealthy periods of time, and you're not lifting, you're not, you know, meal prepping or like getting groceries, like learning a new skill, maybe learning how to cook better, you know, reading a book, reading scripture or ancient texts or wisdom, you know, self-help, self-development, self-growth, learning how to live your healthiest life, you know, listen to uplifting music, use your body, move your body, build muscle, right? If you're not utilizing your time to do this, you'll find yourself in the future like, I don't know, maybe not regretting, but you'll be like, man, I wish I put my time to work and made it work for me, rather than squander the time I had with stuff that doesn't really matter. Okay, and now I'm just off on a rabbit trail again, but I think it's really important. It's hitting on someone. It's hitting, you know, if you're nodding your head like, dude, this is so true, then you're in a good place because you're like, you're realizing this. So now you're more likely to take advantage and seize the moments you have and make time work for you. So nice job. And if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I feel like I'm kind of in that position where I kind of feel called out. Well then, man, I love you and let's get better, right? There's, it's not like I am a perfect person to look at for time management. I'm definitely not that person. But I am committed to growing in that and developing that skill and being aware of that, right? So I've wasted plenty of time. But I do think all things work together for good. So I can look back on that time in my life when I was wasting more time than making work for me, and I can learn a lesson, and I can be better, therefore, because of it. So it's all working for you. But as you wake up to your potential, as you wake up to the person you were created to be, inevitably, you got to make some healthy changes, and you got to let some parts of you die. You got to let some old habits fizzle out, right? You got to replace them with healthy habits, replace them with empowering habits, replace them with life-giving habits, okay? So in a nutshell, that's my life. I'm a new dad. I'm trying to learn the routines and schedule, trying to make time work for me. I'm trying to experience that unconditional love to the fullest and understand that's just a snapshot of what God has for us children, for us kids of his, right? That's a beautiful thing. If that's the kind of love that you know made the world is what it is, I want to experience that love in many ways. You know, I want to worship that love in so many ways by how I live my life and how I serve others, how I become the person I was made to become, how I create, the words I use, thoughts I think. All this is anchored and rooted in love. And God is love, my friend. So if you thought otherwise, you know, if you think God's some old guy in the sky and he's always mad and frustrated at you, you got it completely wrong. Trust me. And I don't think that's a uncommon perspective. I think more people than we realize have this view of God. But God is for you, and he wants you to rediscover who he created you to be and drop the lies you've been living in, the false self, the untrue identities you've maybe put on and taken on, and whatever you've kind of created, whatever identity you've self-created. Live in light of your true identity, which is God-given, because the person who knows the computer best is who created the computer. The person who knows the product, you know, the best is the person who created and designed the product. So the person who knows you best is the person, the one who created you. And the best news is the one who knows you best, the best parts, the worst parts, the parts you're, you know, afraid of or maybe ashamed of, or even the parts you're stoked on. Like the one who knows you most and best, he loves you the most. And that's Psalm 139, bro. Like, that's so good. I'm talking to myself, bro. But that's so good. The one who loves you, the knows you the most, loves you the most. And he wants you to become more the person you were created to be and made to be, who you already are in the grand scheme of things, if you're looking at the eternal perspective. Because all this stuff has technically already happened. This eternal perspective, if you get that view, technically what's happened has already happened. What will be has already been done. And so you're already that person in the grand scheme of things. But we're playing it out in time and space because we're constricted to this time, you know, this life we call time-space continuum, you know, the life we call days and nights and hours and minutes. We're playing it out, but we're already that person, okay? So as we come to know our true self, that is the beautiful thing. That's the journey we're all on, and I believe we find that in God. We find that in Jesus because he is God's word, because he is the manifestation of God, you know, that we can relate to and we can connect to, and then we get all the benefits of being in him, and it's a beautiful thing. So hope I don't sound too preachy, but that's really the secret, if you will. Like, that's the truth. You know, God's not some like unseen, unknown, impersonable force. He's not the universe. It's a person. And that's made the biggest difference, because now that I'm a father, I understand when Jesus said, pray like this, you know, our Father in heaven, or when he called God his Father, and his Father and I are one, right? It's beautiful. And now I understand, because my daughter wouldn't be here without me. Like, if if I didn't exist, Gianna doesn't exist, right? It'd be another baby. But she came from me. And so I have this unconditional love and willingness to sacrifice for her. And it's crazy because that's literally what the gospel is about. So beautiful. Again, hope it's not too preachy, but that's just my heart. I feel like I've been wanting to create a podcast for a good bit of time. And I hope it inspires you to use your time wisely, to maybe search for more and ask for, you know, ask and knock and search for more truth, you know, more of God in your life, and just ask for that desire to grow and to be more spiritually fit. Because as you become more fit physically, mentally, spiritually, you will be more capable to overcome the trials and the problems in your life. You will find more solutions. You will live a life with more purpose, right? And that's what we all want. We all want happiness and joy and peace and the ability to experience more life and to experience more love and to be strong and to be fully alive. Man, it happens when you are growing and becoming more you. That's really it. So ditch the parts of you that need to be ditched, the parts of you that are not ready or willing to grow, right? What are the things and the belief systems you've had for maybe years and decades? You need to say, no more. I'm changing. I'm making a change. What are those things? It's time to drop those. And then, of course, pick up healthy, empowering, and beautiful habits in their place. So, man, that's the podcast episode. I hope it spoke to you. Hope it encouraged you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you agreed with everything, if you were curious about something, you disagreed with something, that's cool. Message me. Share this with a friend who maybe is becoming a dad soon, or, you know, if it wants to be a dad, or maybe a dad who you just want to encourage. Like, I hope that does encourage people in a unique way. And I'm definitely just using my voice that's unique to me and trying to say the most truthful thing at any given moment on this episode. So I hope that's received and enjoyed as well. But man, I love you. I'm so proud. I'm so fired up for the person you're becoming. And I'm excited to see how you're going to continue growing in your life and impacting the world around you for the better. So much love. Again, if you haven't rated this show, rate it. Follow me on Spotify, Apple, whatever that looks like, and share with a friend. But until next time, stay mentally, physically, and spiritually fit. Be fit for life because you are made for more. Refuse to settle and live like you're made for more because that's the truth. All right, much love.